This meeting is now being recorded.
Well, I'd like to welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the RPM Subteam for U.S. Practitioners call on the 28th of March, 2018. This meeting is obviously being recorded today. I would like to remind all participants, if you would please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will hand it over to Julie Hedlund.
Thanks so much, Michelle. And this is Julie Hedlund from staff, and welcome, everyone. And just administrative note, as you have all noticed, I'm sure, we are not using an Adobe Connect room today due to the security issues that were discovered at ICANN 61. So we only have the teleconference facility at this moment, although ICANN is exploring other options for us to be able to have a screen to share documents. We don't have that facility for this meeting, but we should be able to have it for future meetings. So what staff has done is sent around a message you should have seen about 5 minutes or so ago that has all of the documents in PDF and also the links to the Google Docs. These are all the same as staff had sent yesterday in the agenda document. There's been no updates. They were just sent in to facilitate you being able to access them more quickly for this call. So what we would do is ask you, as we go through the documents, to bring up the document on your own screen or go into the Google, whichever you prefer. Staff will take notes on the, you know, any changes to the documents. And also have any action items as well, and send those around after the call. To remind everyone too of the agenda for today, since you do not actually have it in front of you. So the agenda is that we have the discussion on the questions for the practitioners. We've got the link to the Google Doc and also a PDF for you to view. A discussion on the list of practitioners and outreach proposals. Again, also this PDF and the spreadsheet. And then next steps and timing of future meetings. And may I ask who just joined?
Hello, this is Jay Chapman.
Hi, thank you so much for joining. We were just running through the agenda. And unless there are there any questions on the agenda before I turn things over to Jason? I'm not hearing anything, therefore I'll just go ahead and hand things over to you, Jason. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Jason Schaefer here for the record. Welcome, everyone, to this what will, I'm sure, be an interesting call given our technological constraints. Welcome, everybody, back from ICANN, and hope everybody's been able to settle back into their regular work. It looks like for those of us that were at the ICANN meeting or joined remotely, there was the wider working group had a number of constructive points to help us move forward with our task, and I think we can move forward today, hopefully in the next 55 minutes or so, to go through the questions. And for those of us that recall, I think some of the more salient points were to try to get the question into a little bit of better organization, and get through and modify, edit some of the tone of those questions. And then another big point I recall was seeing if we could reorganize the questions in a way that would be, encourage the participation of the people participating in the questionnaire. So with that, I hope everyone has been able to open up the document, questions for U.S. practitioners. I think it starts right. This is a start with procedural issues, right? Number one. Okay. So
Jason, this is Julie. I'm sorry, and I have no way of holding my hand up, so I'm sorry for breaking in. Just one other thing I forgot to bring to folks' attention, and that is that earlier today, Mary Wong had sent around from the document subteam their suggested questions for practitioners, and I've also sent that document around in the documents I just sent a little bit ago. And I'm not sure how you all want to address them, if you want to maybe get your questions into shape first and then see where the others might fit in. They do also have an organization to them as well in sections that I think is different from our organization, just to make things complicated. But sorry for the interruption, just wanted to point that out.
No, no problem at all. And I guess as a matter of housekeeping, since we do not have the benefit of Adobe, anybody who, you know, wishes to speak, we're going to have to, just chime in. So,
Patrick, I'm sorry to chime in, but you asked. Just also a formal question that you will reply on later on, I presume. But when they asked us to reorganize the questions, I presume it's only the sub-questions on each main topic, or is it generally?
I think, it's a matter of the sub-questions as well, as I recall, at least, and maybe someone else can refresh all of our recollections. I think there was some minor discussion about seeing if there were ways to do more substantive questions and then have other questions that are, you know, more easily answered in short order. There was some discussion to that effect, but I think we have enough work ahead of us to get these into shape that I think once we get them into shape, we can then decide, you know, how to cull them down if we want to reduce the volume of questions and try to, you know, help ensure, you know, responses by the people that are participating.
Okay, thanks.
So for those that were at the meeting, is there anything that has been that I've missed that you think is important to note before we start? Okay, no response. So, I guess maybe it's hard to do this without the benefit of Adobe, but we can go through one by one, or we can maybe look at procedural issues all on our own, and then as a subsection, and then maybe we could comment more generally. I think we have 9 questions in the subsection procedural issues. Perhaps if everybody could just, you know, scroll through those questions, and maybe it might be more efficient if we just let everybody have a minute or two to scroll through those and then allow for comments.
Jason, this is Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get disconnected at some point soon because I'm going to a meeting. But I wanted to mention something about and I'm sorry to go out of order here, about the questions that have been given to us by the other subteam. I guess it was the document subteam. And just, I know we're looking at them later, but I think we're getting 2 mutual and contradictory guidances from the working group. One is to be as short and concise as possible, and yet a number of the questions coming in are much longer and more involved. So when, I don't think I'll be with you when you're looking at the questions that have come in from the URS document subteam, but real questions about how deep we can dive and how much we can gather, given our resources, given our time, and given our other direction from the working group, to be short and concise. I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Well, that's a very good point, Kathy, and actually maybe we should tackle that now, because frankly, having all of us on the call right now editing this document might not be the best use of everyone's time. We're all, you know, we can certainly run through these questions, make comments, but I think as we did before, we may just need to spend time using a Google Doc and doing some edits, as opposed to editing every question one by one. I don't think that's very efficient, but if you raise a very important point, and maybe we should talk about that now as a subgroup as to where, how we synthesize that type of direction, and what do we think we need to do as a subgroup, and how we should proceed. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That makes sense to me.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk about let's use our time wisely, and let's talk about some of the difficulties that it looks like are coming up, and what kind of recommendations we should be making as a subgroup as to depth, scope of questions, and then managing obviously the document subteams questions. I think as a subgroup, when we started this endeavor, we all went in good faith thinking that we would have ability to really do some good work and get some good feedback, and I think that still is the intention of the group and what we need to do. And obviously, it's important to be able to ask the questions, right? And hopefully, these practitioners will respond in kind. Yes, we do have a lot of conflicting messages coming from the larger working group. I guess, Julie, I don't see the that other document. You're referring to this from the document subteam?
Yes. I don't know if it was circulated. I happen to have printed it out.
This is Julie. Yeah, so it was circulated in what I sent around at 1 p.m. today.
Mm-hmm.
It is, if you look at the attachments, it's 73.2 kilobytes. It's questions for URS practitioner subteam -27 March 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And let me add also a happy note, Jason, that just by way of background for anybody who wasn't in Puerto Rico, we went through all the subteam work and then the subteams kind of passed information to each other. But until that presentation, no subteam knew what the other subteam was doing. So these questions come to us from the document subteam kind of cold. They haven't seen our work at that time. So a lot of it, my guess is overlapping. And so that's the happy news is I think they're asking us, I think they're kind of confirming some of the stuff we're already doing. So part of it may just be a checklist. Yep, got that. But part of it is looking to see, whether their guidance falls within what we're doing.
Okay.
It might be useful to read the questions one by one and just talk about them, because some people I know are traveling and some people have it in front of them. And there's only a few. It's only one page.
Okay. Well, as I don't have that document, maybe we could rely on staff to articulate
sure. Yeah, this is Julie Hedlund. I'm sorry. I do see it in the mail that I sent, but I'm happy to read those questions off just to make it easier for everybody. So let me go ahead and do
okay.
that.
Okay.
All right. So and so again, this is from the URS document subteam. They also did a set of questions for the providers. So their preamble, they say, all URS practitioners, as identified by the URS practitioner subteam, will be provided with all the questions below. Each practitioner will be asked to self-identify whether he, she, more typically represents complainants or respondents. So first question, and I'll note these are mostly not in the form of a question, as you'll note when I'm reading them off. But are also organized by topics. So the first topic is filing a complaint under the URS. And the first bullet under that topic is feedback on practice experiences in relation to standing, grounds, and filing period. Sub-bullet, note from URS document subteam. Consider including additional guidance, e.g., include a note that the working group may be considering whether standing should be expanded to include marks that were abusively registered but not confusingly similar. Now, Jason, the question, do you want me to pause and see if there's any discussion after each of these, or just go ahead and read through the whole set? And I'm happy to send this document again to the list as well as that.
Sure. It's short enough. Maybe you could just read them so we could get a sense of the scope in the totality. That might be easiest.
Thank you. Will do. So, second topic, notice of a URS complaint. Sub-bullet, feedback on what they have seen, have been seeing in relation to the issuance of notices to a respondent of a URS complaint. Topic, standard of proof and scope of defenses. Sub-bullet, some, but not all, document sub-team members support soliciting the views of the identified URS practitioners about how panelists have been applying the, quote, clear and convincing, unquote, standard of proof. Next topic, remedies. Sub-bullet, provide views on the scope and duration of URS remedy. Next topic, potentially overlapping process steps. And sub-bullet, feedback on what, in their experience, was the average cost to prosecute and or defend a URS proceeding. Sub-sub-bullet says, note from the URS sub-team, consider asking this question in such a way that practitioners do not feel they are being asked to divulge confidential information or data that gives them a competitive advantage. The objective of the question is to help the working group in its consideration of the question whether to go to a loser pays, unquote, model. May I ask who just joined?
This is George Nahichavansky.
Okay, thanks very much for joining. Final topic, abuse or process. Sub-bullet, feedback on whether they believe it feasible to add a requirement to sanction abuse of process by respondent. And thank you, who just joined?
Hi, it's Dina Silvey.
Oh, thank you very much. So over to you, Jason, and I'm going to send this document around to the list again as well.
Okay, thank you, Julie. And thanks for the people who just joined us. Well, it looks like a lot of those questions seem to have a lot of crossover and stuff that we've already covered, which is good. I suppose anybody have any concerns at the outset on the scope of those questions raised by the documents team?
This is Greg Shatton. Could I get in the queue?
Sure, Greg, go ahead.
Sure, it's Greg Shatton for the record. Overall, first off, this is going to be a painful process. second, the way they're phrased is all of them are quite broad and open-ended, calling for kind of narrative and anecdotal responses, musings, mutterings, and the like. Anybody who has ever conducted a survey where they're trying to get any kind of quantifiable result rather than a Studs Terkel-like collection of stories will know that this will not result in anything useful in that fashion. I think what they've got here is not ready for prime time. It's really just a kind of a set of suggestions that I don't know if they intended to act on them or have the entire practice group or working group act on them or have us act on them, but the questions need to be more precise and call where possible for some kind of quantifiable or at least in essence kind of scorable answer in some way. I mean, clearly we do want some anecdotal responses or narrative responses. But all of this just basically, looks like, everyone should just get a couple of beers and sit around and chat about the URS. So I think we can't really – the best we can do with this if we want to do anything with it ourselves is to kind of correlate it to the questions we've asked, see the extent to which we have covered what they've asked to cover, look for any gaps, and figure out how to cover them and whether to cover them. There are a couple of specific issues that I have, but I'll get to those later so we can kind of maybe talk about general process a little bit more. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg.
those points are duly noted, and I think they certainly suffer from some of the issues we had early on with our own questions. Any thoughts on Greg's points? Anyone wish to comment?
Peter, I put me on after Greg in the queue, but he actually said everything that I was thinking of, so I fully agree with that. As I said, the best way is to look at these general issues and just see what we have already covered, and if there may be or maybe not some specific details that we should add or rephrase our questions that we already have. And also, I haven't studied the list yet, but there may be in these general questions some topic that we may not have fully covered. And as I said, if we add something from that list, we have to rephrase it so it will become more specific. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. Speaking on just as a member of this group, not as the team leader, I think, we have, it might make sense for us to, once we go through the process of editing our own questions, it may clear the way and make it easier to synthesize the other questions into this, our much larger set of questions. I think we have some fundamental structural issues that we have to attend to, which Greg, commented on regarding, open narrative and specific questions, and I think that's a larger structural issue that we I think intended to deal with now after the ICANN meeting. So today's call is not the most efficient way to deal with it, just because we're lacking the Adobe room, but. I don't know how we as a subgroup can tackle that today, but I'm happy to have that discussion. I think maybe we should have a come to broader consensus right now on the manner and method in which we want to have our questions framed. That is to say, to answer some of the questions that Greg raised and some of the questions we had as a broader group. What's the goal here, and how do we achieve it, right? So we want to have, it's obvious that we want to have good, comprehensive responses, but at the same time, just having open-ended questions, as we all know, may not get us anywhere. So we don't want to curtail speech, but at the same time, we want to encourage, those to respond. And I think, as I'm saying this, it jumps out at me that this also relates to the next question of how many practitioners, how vast is that list, who are on that list. Obviously, if you're talking to seasoned counsel who do this regularly and had, many, many cases, and they can certainly, efficiently respond to things, that's one thing. If you're opening it up, as there was a question, opening it up to a more broader group of respondents, we may get into some trouble. On the other hand, it may not matter, right? It may be that if we send out an email or a poll to a larger group, people may not respond. So we also have to worry about that. So perhaps we should, come to consensus on, how we reframe these questions in a way that's the most effective way. And maybe then we can cull through these questions and probably eliminate some, and certainly we have to re-edit some in terms of the way that the questions asked.
Peter here, can you put me on the queue?
Go ahead.
Thanks, Peter Rinford here. Just a thought, if it would be convenient to have, if we go through the questions and make them more specific, if we could have a final open comment possibility. I note at the same time that there may be a risk that we could have long comments on very different issues that makes the they work worse. But on the other hand, if there is some specific question or topic that any user think we have missed out, there could be a possibility to add some extra apart from our specific questions. I just wanted to raise that.
Okay. Thank you, Petr. Well, I have the document open now from the document scheme. Would it make sense as a group to perhaps divide the tasks a bit? We have multiple subcategories. Does anybody want to maybe take a look at splitting up those categories and being taking lead and be responsible for editing those as a suggestion to make it more efficient? Anybody have thoughts on how to handle this at this point? I don't think running through every single question on a phone call at this point without if. Hello.
Hi, Jason. I'm in the queue first.
Hi, Scott Austin.
Kathy? Oh, hi, Scott. Welcome.
Then I think someone's at Denver. Who went to
Denver? Jason, this is George. I'd like to get in the queue, please.
Okay, sure. Kathy, you want to speak first? Or are you just back joining back?
Thanks. I was thinking before we edit the questions that have come in from the document subteam, it might be good to have someone go through the checklist and see how much of this we've already got in our materials. It would probably save time. And then maybe add a note to the existing Google table that we have. If someone flags something that looks different or is a different take or a different angle or an expansion or something different, maybe they could flag it in brackets or something and say, in our Google table, our master document, from provider suggestion that, And so that way we're only taking from them what we don't already have in our document, and that's the only, so we only would be editing probably a portion of this document that we're looking at. Just a thought.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. I think that's good. I mean, I think, like I said, I think if we divide this up and maybe someone can take lead, someone can take lead on that, someone can take lead on one section for procedural, substantive, and so on, that might make it easier. I do think, and I'll raise it to the group that, we certainly just need to dive in and begin editing the questions in the Google Doc. But I'm obviously it's up to the group to, decide how we wish to proceed. I think someone just joined us.
Okay, this is Jochen, and I cannot drop offline, so I reconnect. Yeah, it's
okay. Fine. Thank you.
Okay.
And was that Scott waiting in the queue or someone? Someone else.
George.
George, go ahead.
George Nechavansky for the record. So the one thought I had on this is that it was interesting because when we were at the meeting and all those questions were like thrown up on the big screen, it really became like, oh my God, there are so many questions there, we're never going to get through this. And while we have all these sections and we're probably not going to get a high response rate, it occurred to me that yes, we could go through every one of these sections and we could try to break it down and consolidate them. But I think the problem is that maybe there's a more fundamental issue. It's like, what is it that we're really trying to get here? And then really, like, instead of trying to parse out, here are the procedural, here are this, here are that, trying to come down to like a manageable set of like 10 really important things that we think are the things that we got to get this information in order to assess whether this RPM is working or not working. And so I think like if we all start going down, dividing up little parts of it, what we're going to end up with is like basically, different cooks coming up with different things that they think are important. And then they're going to be put up in, all together again. And then we'll be like, well, do we really need this? Do we not need this? So I think we ought to step back, decide what the five or six things that are the most important or 10 or whatever, and then just narrow in on that.
Thank you, George. Anyone have any comments, thoughts on George's
points.
This is Scott. I just wanted to follow up with George and ask him when he says 10 points. Are we talking about the documents? Or, sorry, the subgroup document, subgroup items that are in that list, filing a complaint, et cetera, or some other list of 10?
I was looking at it more from the standpoint that we came up with an entire huge list of questions in all these different areas, and some of them get very, very granular, and that was part of the problem, and the people were reacting, say, you're never going to get people to answer all these things. So it seems to me that we can work using those, but if we identify, like, really, we're really, these are the things that are going to be the most concern and really explain whether or not this RPM is working or not, then we can then go through these sections and say, this doesn't really, it's not going to be needed now. This is not really, and then narrow it down to something that we can get a lot of people responding to a small set of things that is very useful information, as opposed to this blunderbuss that we have everything but the kitchen sink in this document.
This is Greg, if I could get in the queue.
Sure. Greg, go ahead.
I think, George's instinct or thought process is correct that we have roughly 45 questions, many of which have subparts or are asked in the form of subparted questions, and that looks like a lot. Looking at them more carefully, I think some of them call for a yes or no answer or a number answer or some other form of a very short answer. And some of them do call for narrative and more lengthy answers. I think the idea of trying to see if we can eliminate questions is a good idea. I don't know that we can go from 45 to 10, though it would be nice to think we could. And so I think we should all look at the questions with a critical eye, but not necessarily with a particular numerical goal in mind. But I think we should also try to figure out what kind of answer is being called for in each question, because I think it creates the way they're laid out now, just as questions with no space for an answer. They all look from 30 feet away in a conference room equally daunting. And therefore, overall, too daunting. I think if this was set out in, say, kind of like a form, SurveyMonkey, Google form, whatever it might be, and a number of the questions just have checkboxes or fill in a short blank or a radio button or whatever it is, it'll seem a lot less troublesome. Then we'll see how many truly narrative questions we have, and again, try to make them, a little, both more concise and less granular, if that's possible, and try to think about what's useful and if people are trying to score points in these questions from whatever side you're trying to score the points on, need to think about whether that's, a good use of this, if these are really good points that we need to get to the bottom of or not. So I think we need to take a little bit more nuanced approach to trying to make this a more workable survey, but I don't want to end up with a whole bunch of people essentially saying too long, didn't read.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Good points. Kathy, do you want to comment on this or you want to chime in on additional point?
I think did you just call on me? This is Kathy.
Yeah, you had said you wanted to speak, Kathy, so I didn't know if you had.
Okay, a quick note, I'm headed into a parking garage and I may lose connectivity, but I mean, it looks like we all have the same goal, George, Greg, me, you, everybody, of, making this something people will respond to. I'm frankly enticed by George's idea that we could reduce this into, a handful of really clear questions. And I mean, I would love this, George. I don't know if you were volunteering, but it sounds like you've got a vision of what something might look like that people would want to respond to. I for one would love to see it. And I think you're right. If we send this all out in different parcels, we'll wind up with a dozen people's different versions. So anyway, just a thought that I would love to see what your vision was for kind of is this fit for purpose? Because it sounded very clear, and if you've got a clear vision, I'd love to know. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Paddock, can I put me on the queue?
Okay. George, you have a response to Kathy, or?
Sure. I mean, I have a vision. I don't think it's necessarily completely clear on that because, I have a vision, but what I think you're right. I mean, it might make sense is to have two or three people kind of like go through this, and I'm willing to be one of them, to go through it and say, here, let's, so that we have some different points of view as to what the important issues are, or what people consider are the important issues, and then say, let's cut all these things and come up with something that's more concise, and then put that in front of the group, and then you can compare it to the prior document and decide, do we want to add to it, do we want to put less, or are we missing things, and go from there.
Thank you. Fetcher?
Yeah, well, I've had it here for the record. I think we can do some kind of a mix of that. I agree that we definitely can cut down the questions. And one thing we could do that without losing any specific details is actually also to use the click box. I mean, just a brief study, I think that there are some main questions that are then split up to 5, 6, 7 sub-questions that makes the list very long. And maybe we can start with limiting those additional questions and then have some click boxes that also visually, when people are going through the questionnaire and reply to it, looks more simply to reply on than to go to the next question. Then actually there are only 15 questions in 2.1 because number one there is a statement, the burden of proof is clear and convincing evidence. So point one and two there is actually the question number one. And then we have cut down at least one question to start with.
Right. I think, we're all circling around the same issue, and I think it's a function of the natural process, right? We all agree that if we were doing this on our own, we would have set about this probably much in the same way. We would have done a mass dump, if you will, of all the possible questions we could think of to the best of our abilities, and then we would naturally try to edit and whittle it down. I think it would be useful, in my opinion, that if all or a few of us, and there's not that many of us, perhaps took a run through and be honest and say, okay, these are critical questions and these are not. I think if we did that exercise, we would probably all be able to cut down the list significantly as George and Greg and others have stated, this may be, an endeavor that, okay, now we can, fairly reduce the amount of questions with just a quick run through of I don't want to say voting, but checking individually, even just checking, saying, okay, these are critical and these are not so critical, really a prioritization of it. And I think, as Petter noted, many of the questions will probably go by the wayside. If we just clean them up, you'll see a lot fall away. And then we may be able to see that, in fact, we really may not need those yes or no type of questions. Some of them we may need, some of them we may not. But I think it's important that we should find a way, whether it's, a couple people volunteering and we run through a Google Doc and rough cleanup, or everybody agrees to, you know, do a run through and pick the best questions in their opinion that really are substantive and get to the heart of whether or not the URS is working. That may be the most efficient use of everyone's time, rather than editing, you know, 45 questions at this stage.
This is Scott.
Go ahead.
Did I get in queue? Okay.
Sure,
yeah, first of all, I wasn't sure because I had to get on a little bit late because of a client call. If the items that were submitted, I saw what was submitted about from the document subgroup. Is that going to be feathered into these questions, or has it already been? Because I haven't had a chance to compare them side by side.
Sure. So earlier in the call, we ran through those questions. Some people have the benefit of seeing them in print. Others we just read through. You see that there is some crossover on some of the questions that are kind of covering topics that we already covered, such as clear and convincing standard, things of that nature. We're not sure yet how to tackle that. Do we want to, you know, integrate that as a group? Do we want to integrate that into our questions or not? I think that many of those questions probably are already covered in some fashion by the breadth of and scope of our questions. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, my other thought then, I just wanted to ask that because my other thought is I almost feel like I'm walking into a depot unprepared because I'm still sort of looking for the ground rules or the outline of what it is we're trying to elicit in response. And I don't know if we have within our subgroup or within the RPM group anyone who actually isn't a URS practitioner. But I know we have certainly a number of UDRP practitioners, and I just wondered if we have a sort of a checklist of what it is, where we think the weak spots are, or if there's been anything in the press analyzing some of these URS decisions that has highlighted what are some things that we should be, you know, trying to determine if it was a one-off, it was an aberration, or if in fact there's a systemic issue with the way the URS is set up.
Okay. That is a good question. Personally, I don't have any information on that. Kathy, I don't know if you have any further guidance on that from the group, the original working group discussion on what we were set out to do. I don't think there is any guidance on that. Does anybody have anything on that? Personally, I do know that, you know, There have been blogs and other comments about the URS, but not. I haven't seen anything of significant note indicating that there's a systemic issue one way or the other. And I think, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to get at. Are there things that are troubling or problematic in the URS? And have you seen that in practice? And is that in fact an issue? I think we're all kind of shooting in the dark a bit and making some assumptions that, oh, well, there may be an issue with the standard of proof, there may be an issue with the presentation of evidence, and so on. Notice, but, I think we're all kind of, like you, walking into the deposition kind of unprepared, and that's why our questions are so broad at the moment, because we're trying to figure this out. But any other thoughts on that?
Fair enough. I just want to add I'd be willing to be a volunteer with George if that's needed on the rewrite.
Okay. So do we agree that as a subgroup, we'll place on the table the idea of doing a few volunteers to go through the 45 or so questions and prioritize and try to call that down? Does that make sense as a group? Do we have another thought on how to proceed? Okay, no thoughts on that. I'm okay with having a few volunteers try to take a swipe at editing this, not necessarily from the scope of content, but bringing that list down to a more manageable list and maybe trying to
place a priority. Obviously, I don't know if we'll get to George's number of 10 necessarily, but maybe we could put together 3 or 4 volunteers and at least begin to prioritize the questions, perhaps, and group them as saying, you know, these are high priority, perhaps, and then we could vote and comment in a Google Doc. Does anybody have any thoughts on doing it that way?
Pardon? This is Johan for the record. What the volunteer will do to form the questions, we will use email or something. What can I do? I mean, right. What can we do? So how we co-work with each other to make the question more sensible and clear? Yeah, I want to make a question.
So I didn't quite hear you. You said is your question about how do we improve the questions themselves?
How we work together, the typical method, yeah. We use email or we use some, like
okay.
You are called for the volunteers, right? And
we
want to know that how we participate in the progress. Yeah.
Right, I think we were agreeing to use the Google Doc that we originally worked on to allow for editing in a Google Doc situation where everybody could see what's happening.
So basically that everyone can use the Google Doc in the sub-team. We do need some particular volunteers for this work. I don't get that. Yeah, we can all join the process, right?
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you, Xiao. Okay, so, at this point, it looks like George, Scott, I'm happy to volunteer to take a crack at helping edit. Anybody else want to, you know, commit to doing that, and then I guess as Zhao has mentioned, anybody else can certainly go into the doc themselves and see what's happening and participate. We have 3. Anyone else want to? Go ahead.
Yeah, I can join that group.
Okay. So that's 4. So does that make sense as a group? Do we want to proceed in this fashion? We'll have 4 volunteers attempting to, let's divide up the work and attempt to come up with an honest list of the top questions and really refocus the questions in a way that we each believe would be most effective. Obviously, it'd be a work in progress. Does that make sense as a working group? Anybody object to proceeding in that fashion? Okay, hearing no objection, I guess we can proceed with 4 volunteers to and anybody else who wants to. It looks like it's Scott, George, myself, and Petr.
So Jason, if we proceed this way, will you just take the lead at sending, and maybe we should have an initial call, just the 4 of us, and then get ourselves organized and move forward?
Sure, that makes sense to me. I think Julie has the Google Doc. Julie, correct? You have the Google Doc we can utilize, right?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, actually, I was going to create a new one just so that we preserve the old one just kind of historically, and then just create a new one that has all the questions in it, but indicates that it's the one that we will then prioritize and edit.
Okay.
And if you like, I can go ahead and also then send to the 4 of you a doodle to try to select a time for a call as well. I mean, we have a time for a call at the same time next Wednesday, but I imagine we want to get together sooner than that.
Okay, thank you, Julie. So, yeah, I think that makes sense to have that separate Google Doc circulated for our use. I'm happy to jump on a call. I don't know, but you know, we could certainly send out a poll for you guys. We can try to suss through this as best as possible.
And this is Julie again. What I'll try to do also is, especially because it would be much easier to collaborate, to get a document sharing tool. I think WebEx is one that we're using, and also Zoom. See if one of those is available, or make sure one of those is available for that call, so, you know, to facilitate the work.
Okay. Thank you. So, I guess as a matter, point, are we looking to have this exercise completed by next month, next Wednesday? Is that the intent here?
So this is Julie. I mean, I think the intent was to try to have something wrapped up, say, by mid-April. I don't have a sense. The other group that is still working is the provider sub-team. I think they have a fair amount of work also to do. You know, obviously this will take as long as it takes, but I'd say mid-April is probably a good goal.
Okay. This is George. Could we just agree, like, that, you know, our little group will get something done by, like, the 9th? And if sooner, if we can, but, you know, April 9th is the outer limit, and then that way that gives the group, the whole group, about a week to basically try to get things together.
This is Scott. That works for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that works for me as well. I agree. So that works for me. I think it makes sense. I mean, each of us can spend a little bit of time on our own, and then we could regroup. Okay, so let's set an outer date of April 9th to have something to present. Julie, you'll circulate the new Google Doc for editing purposes. And then the four of us can certainly perhaps do, you know, through email, get back to each other and set up a time for a call should we need to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
And let me just clarify. So April 9th,
yeah,
from your small group, correct, to the full working group? Pardon me for not understanding. The April 9th deadline again is, sorry.
Yeah, I think George means that the full group should finish the all senior law, right? If I don't misunderstand. Yeah.
Well, I thought we would, maybe I misunderstood, but I think we were suggesting we would want to present this back to our subgroup for approval before going to the wider working group, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yes, and I'm not to be, yeah, I didn't mean to confuse things. I meant of the editing group, of the four of you, are you planning, is the April 9th deadline for your edits to be done for this sub-team?
That's my understanding, yes. Is that correct?
Okay.
Are we all in agreement on that?
If that's the case, then do you want to keep this time for your small group as a possible meeting next Wednesday?
That's fine with me, Jason, if that's fine with you.
This is Scott Austin for the record. I think that probably makes sense if we're doing the legwork on the redraft.
Peter here. It could be kind of practical way to do it, and by then we hopefully have the time to make our initial suggestion for changes, so that we can then put everything together in our small group call next week.
Okay. Well, then let's do that. We'll keep this slot open for hopefully a brief call among the four of us, and then we'll have that document to review as soon as you send it out, Julie. We can begin the process and hopefully have a final edit back to the larger group on or before April 9th.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you, everyone. That is also very clear to me as well. So I will get that link out to you very shortly, probably within the next 15 minutes or so, as well as some notes.
Right.
Perfect.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Saturday. Thank you all for joining. Very much appreciate it. And we'll look forward to talking again soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for today.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.